Please take your Bibles and open them with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I want you to think with me a moment. Let's suppose that you take advantage of all the teaching and preaching of the Word of God that's available to you here at Lakeland Baptist Church just on Sundays. Within a given year, we have 52 Sundays where the Scriptures are opened and they're taught or preached from. Generally speaking, just on Sundays alone in a single year, if you came to every Sunday school class that's offered in every worship service that we have, that's 104 times that you would be exposed to the preaching or teaching of the Word of God. Now, over a course of 20 years, that would be 2,080 messages you would hear. Over the course of 30 years as a Christian, that would be 3,120 messages you would hear. Over the course of 40 years, that would be 4,160 messages. 50 years, that would be 5,200 messages. 60 years, 6,240 messages. 70 years, for those of us who may be getting a little older, that's 7,280 messages. And perhaps maybe we could get up to 80 years for some of us. You would be exposed to 8,320 messages. That is a lot of Bible teaching and preaching. When you come to terms with it, that's not just a lot of preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's a lot of listening to the Word of God. Oftentimes when we think about preaching and teaching, we think about it in terms of the high calling of the preacher or the teacher to faithfully deliver the Word of God to the people of God. But there's another high calling in Scripture. It's true that there is a high calling placed upon the man who teaches God's Word and declares God's Word. But there's also a high calling, the Bible tells us, upon the one who listens to the Word of God. And Jesus emphasizes this point, and we saw this last Sunday, this high calling of listening, the high calling of the listener in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. In this passage, as we looked at it together in detail, we saw that Jesus makes a big deal about listening. He tells us that not all hearing is the same. There are different kinds of listening. And he emphasizes this specific point by means of telling a parable. Now, you'll remember last week I told you that a parable is not just an entertaining story that Jesus would relay to people. No, a parable was a story that had truth or truths in it that were pointing forward, connecting to gospel realities. It was a story that Jesus had so designed that it was to pique the interest of his listeners, so that upon hearing it, they would actually seek understanding as to its meaning. In this passage, Jesus gives us what we call the parable of the soils. And his primary point in telling this story is he's making a point about hearing. Now, last week, we looked at this passage, I said, in detail. And I gave you the doctrinal part of this sermon. We looked at a theology of hearing. This morning, I'm going to dive into the more practical parts of this two-part sermon series. But before we do, I know we have guests who are with us, and I want to catch them up a little bit, so I want to briefly review this passage before we dive into the practical parts of this sermon this morning, of this text. So I told you that this passage breaks down into three main parts. In verses 4 through 8, Jesus speaks in a parable. So let's look at those verses quickly together. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. And as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up, and it produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So this is where Jesus simply speaks by way of a parable. Well, the second part of this passage I explained last week, verses 9 and 10, is where Jesus explains his general use of teaching in parables. The disciples did not immediately understand the story that Jesus has told, and so they ask him for an explanation. And before giving them a specific interpretation, he tells them why he generally speaks in parables. And then following in verses 11 on up through verse 18, here we have Jesus giving a specific interpretation of what the parable means. So let's look in those verses together. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and he takes away the word from them, and he takes from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil, those are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and a good heart, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. So last week, I explained that this parable, it has three parts to it when Jesus breaks down its explanation. The sower represents a preacher of the word of God, someone who's declaring God's word. The seed represents the word of God itself, the gospel and all the other truths that would support the gospel that's being proclaimed. And then three, the soils, they represent different kinds of listening, various kinds of hearing, heart responses to the word of God. And in this text, Jesus gives us four kinds of hearing. The first hearing was the hearing of the seed that fell alongside the road. Remember, this is hard soil. It's been trampled upon. And so there are some people who hear the word of God, and when they hear it, the word really never gets started in their heart. It bounces off of them, and by the time the service is over or somebody has shared the word with them, no more than they have gotten away, they've already forgotten it because there's spiritual warfare at work. There's an enemy who comes, Jesus says he is the devil, and he steals that seed. He steals the word from their heart. As the text says in verse 12, so they will not believe and be saved. So that's one kind of hearing. It's a kind of hearing which results in a person being damned. They never come to salvation. Well, there's another kind of hearing, Jesus says, and it's those who are rocky soil. This is that kind of soil where there would be a thin layer of surface soil and there would be rock underneath it, so seed would fall on that. But Jesus said, these kind of listeners, it looks like there's going to be some growth, but because it's so hard underneath the rocks there, the roots never can penetrate, never can get moisture. And so Jesus tells us these kinds of listeners in verse 13, they hear, they receive the word with quote-unquote joy, but they don't have root. The word still never establishes itself in their hearts. And so when difficulties arise in the world, life gets tough, whatever those adversities may be, they fall away. They turn away. So they appeared to be believers, but the true toughness of life, the other circumstances of life showed that they never really heard the way they should have heard. Well, then there's a third kind of hearing, and this is the thorny soil that Jesus speaks about. There's some soil that had weeds and thorns growing, and Jesus tells us this represents those kinds of believers that they hear the word of God in verse 14, and as they go on their way, though, something happens in the world. There are other things in the world. We would call these not adversities, but distractions. There are riches. There are pleasures to pursue. There are other worries and cares. And these things, like weeds and thorns of the seed that Jesus talks about in this parable, they choke out the word in a person's life. And so there's never any fruit that matures in their hearts. But then we get to the fourth kind of soil. And this is the kind of soil that Jesus celebrates in verse 15. It's what he calls the good soil. These are those who have heard the word, Jesus says, in an honest and a good heart. The word penetrates. They retain the word. They hold on to the word. And notice what it does. It produces fruit in their life. And they persevere in their faithfulness to the Lord. In this parable, we see that Jesus is not focused on the one who's doing the preaching. This is not a parable about how to preach. This is a parable about the importance of listening to the word of God. You see, Jesus' whole point with this parable is that everyone needs to pay attention to how they listen to the preaching of God's word. And he makes that clear in verse 18 as he wraps it up. He says, so take care how you listen. As he told the parable, he would say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He kept re-emphasizing and repeating that over and over. And then he gets to the end here. He says, so take care how you listen. And last week, I closed this message out emphasizing to us why it is so important that we take care how we listen to God's word. Number one, I told you, because the way we listen to the preaching of the word of God, our salvation depends upon how we hear. That's clear from verse 12. If you don't listen to the word of God correctly in a genuine, authentic way, you will be eternally lost. That's clear from verse 12. Not only that, but Jesus teaches us here, we need to give strict attention to how we listen to the word of God. It's so important because not only does our salvation depend upon how we listen to the word, but also our fruitfulness depends upon how we listen to the word of God. Verse 15, only those who hear with the right kind of hearing, the right kind of heart, end up bearing fruit. And that fruit is a life that is in character and conduct that's consistent with the word. You see, a person who tells me they believe this book, but their life does not abide by it, based on this parable, we can say through and through, if your consistency is to proclaim you believe it, but your life is not marked by it, then you're lying. You do not have that fruit, that obedience that characterizes someone who truly has heard the word and it's took up root in their heart. It's also important for a third reason that we listen to the preaching of the word of God in the right way, because our perseverance depends upon it. Jesus says those who hear in the right way, the word is held fast in their heart. They retain it. Regardless of the difficulties or distractions in this world, they're going to persevere. Perseverance is commanded of God's people in the scripture, but it's also promised. And Jesus is telling us those who hear the way he's talking about, they're going to have lives that hold on to the word of God to the end. These other kinds of hearing, they don't last. They don't persevere. The rocky soil, it's the afflictions of the world. Life's too hard, so they turn away from God. They want nothing more to do with the scriptures, the church, or Jesus. For other people, it's just the things of the world that just entertain them more. They, at one point, they said, yeah, I love Jesus. I love the church. I care about the mission. But I'll tell you, this over here, this really excites me in life. And that's what they go after. So they never persevere. They don't hold on to the word of God. Only those who hear with the right heart end up persevering. So our listening to the Word of God is important because our salvation depends upon it. Our fruitfulness, our obedience to God depends upon it. Our perseverance depends upon it. And then last of all, we talked about verses 16 and 17, our witness to others depends upon it. Now, I want to look at that briefly again. Notice what Jesus says. He switches metaphors, but we're still in the same point. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in, they may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. So the point is here, connecting back to verse 15, those people who listen with the right heart, Jesus uses another analogy. He says, when you hear the way you should hear, let me tell you what it's going to be like. It's like a person who lights a lamp. When they light a lamp, they don't cover it up. That's not the point of light. Light is to expose and to give sight. And he said, so when you hear the way you should hear, you're going to end up in this world for me being a light. You're going to be a witness in your works and in your words. You're going to be that person who is a witness for God in that way. And then verse 17 just explains even more clearly verse 16. In other words, Jesus is saying those things that you've come to know, you're going to make them known. This secret thing in your life, it's going to become evident that you've become a real hearer of the Word of God. So here's the point. If we don't listen the way we should listen, Jesus is telling us, we won't be a witness for him in this world. If we don't hear the Word of God with the ears Jesus is talking about and the heart that Jesus is talking about, the gospel will not progress the way that it should. Jesus makes a big deal about hearing in this text. This passage tells us that we need to pay attention to how we listen to the preaching of the Word of God. That was the doctrinal explanation of this text last week. Now, this morning, what I want to do in the time remaining, I want to give you some very practical ways on how you can become a better listener to the preaching of the Word of God. So I want you to notice something that just makes sense here. In verse 18, Jesus says, take care how you listen. So Jesus is telling all of those who are listening to him preach, there's actually something you can do to become the listener I want you to become. You see, listening is something that you can grow in. It's something that you can develop to become what he wants you to be. So I've done a lot of research, I've done a lot of study, I've pulled together a lot of different thoughts from other scholars, other preachers, and I want to give you 12 things this morning, and we're going to move through these quickly, that you can start thinking about and appropriating into your life so that you can become a person who listens to the Word of God the way that Jesus says to listen to it. So first of all, the first thing that you can do, a practical step to becoming a better hearer of God's Word, is spend time in God's Word daily. You want to become a better listener to the preaching of the Word of God on Sunday? Let me tell you what's going to impact that more than anything. What you do with the Word of God on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and on Saturday. You see, if we want to hear with the ears that Jesus says to hear with and to receive with the kind of heart that Jesus is talking about, we need a heart throughout the week that has been conditioned to the Word that we're going to hear declared on Sunday. Now, back when I was an athlete in high school and I played basketball, do you know the thing that affected my Friday night performance more than anything else in the games when I played on Friday? It's how I practiced on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and on Thursday. If there was ever a time when I was sick or something came up and I had to miss practice, I'll tell you, I would get into the game and I would notice, I was like, man, I'm not shooting the ball the way I usually shoot the ball. I'm not catching the ball the way I typically catch the ball. I'm not running the way that I usually run. I'm not defending the way that I usually defend. You see, my engagement with basketball throughout the other days of the week, it affected the big day when we were going to play in competition. Guys, Sunday for all of us, it's our big day. It's when we come together, it's the Lord's designated day, and we come here to make much of Him. And the way He works in our hearts is primarily through the preached word, which is the center of the worship service. Make no mistake that our hearing will be dull, our hearts will be off. We will not be in tune the way we should be if we've not been engaging the Word of God those days prior to leading up to Sunday. So one of the best things that all of us can do to listen to the Word of God in the way that Jesus says to, that we can become more effective hearers of preaching, is to be tuned into the Word throughout the other days of the week. And so when we come to the worship service, we're like, oh man, I've been reading something else where God says something similar to this, and the connections start making, or I've seen other language here, or I've seen this theme that God's been developing, and God's been working in your heart, and that helps your listening on Sunday when the Word is preached. So spend time in God's Word daily. Number two, ask God to prepare your heart to hear His Word. Now, it only makes sense that if Jesus commends, and this is the only soil He commends, it's the soil that represents the good heart, that if Jesus talks about this honest and good heart, it only makes sense that we as the people of God, we would take time during the week and even before the service to say, God, this is the kind of heart that You say receives the Word. So I want You to give me that kind of heart. Remember, the Bible tells us a lot about the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Only God can know it. He's the one who searches the heart. So we want to do what Psalm 139 teaches us to do. We want to have a time in verses 23 and 24 where we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any evil way in me. And lead me in the way that's everlasting. So God, search my heart through and through. You know everything that's happened this week in my life. And I want You to lead my heart in the way that's everlasting. An everlasting way that God would lead your heart is to a heart that's going to be soft in response to His Word when it's preached. So we want God to show us sin. And we want to be quick to confess that sin. We want God to point out those things that have not been right so our heart is ready to listen to the Word. So here's what I would encourage you to do. Everyone, before you come to church on Sunday, you want to have a time where you just get alone with God and you say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I'll really see this morning. Open the ears of my heart that I'll really hear. Soften my heart so that it is ready to receive Your implanted Word, and that it will accomplish its intended purpose in my life today. Let it be soft towards You, because the Bible tells us, the book of Hebrews, we can harden our hearts towards God. So we want to ask God to soften our hearts towards Him. So spend time in God's Word daily to become a more effective listener to the preaching of the Word of God. Ask God to prepare your heart to hear His Word. And then number three, and this one's going to be one that will probably surprise some of you, but it's one that I think needs to be pointed out. Build goodwill toward the preacher. You can go ahead and laugh a little bit more. Build goodwill toward the preacher. David Murray is a professor of Old Testament at Puritan Reformed Seminary. He wrote an article called 20 Helps to Sermon Listening. I want you to listen to what he says. Ill will or malice towards the preacher is a hardener of the heart. It blocks the Word. Did you hear that? Ill will or malice towards the one who declares the Word, it hardens the heart so that you can't hear what God is declaring from His Word. George Whitefield, one of the greatest evangelists who's ever lived of the 18th century, this man preached over 18,000 sermons. Just a mighty man of God. He preached out of Luke chapter 8, instructing his listeners on how to listen to the preached word of God. This text is a very common text for this subject matter. And I want you to listen to what George Whitefield says. Back from the 18th century, he said, here's a third direction, not to entertain in any the least prejudice against the minister. For could a preacher speak with the tongues of men and angels? If his audience was prejudiced against him, he would be as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, this is good. That was the reason why Jesus Christ himself, the eternal Word, could not do many mighty works, nor preach to any great effect among those of his own country, for they were offended at him. I mean, have you ever looked in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus was among his own hometown? And Jesus was amazed at the response of the people, that they would not listen to him because, get this, they couldn't hear the word because they couldn't get over the preacher. Think about that. The greatest preacher who's ever walked the face of this earth. No one was a better preacher than Jesus. But when they looked at him for whatever reason, his lineage or the way he spoke or the thoughts they had already assumed against him, the word of God did not work in their hearts, and his preaching did not accomplish its purpose because they were offended at the one speaking. Wow. And listen to what George Whitefield goes on to say. This was the same Jesus, God incarnate, who came down speaking as never a man spoke. If they were prejudiced against him as the Jews were, or if we were prejudiced against him as the Jews were, we should harden our hearts as the Jews did theirs. Take heed, therefore, my brethren, and beware of entertaining any dislike against those whom the Holy Ghost has made overseers over you. So this is a big thing. We need to always make sure that when we come to the house of God, listen, I know as the preacher, the leader of this church, I am the one that's most visible. I have to make decisions. And if you've got 10 Baptists in a room, you've got 100 opinions. And so there's going to always be somebody who's upset at the pastor because he made this decision, he didn't make that decision. But listen, I'm a really likable guy. I really am. If you've got any ill will towards me, just confess it, okay? I love you all. We're not always going to be agreed upon on every decision that should be made. But listening, having any ill will or malice towards the one preaching the word of God, it's kind of like this. It's like drinking poison yourself and wanting the other person to die. You see, you're not hurting the pastor. You're hurting yourself. You see, those people back in this day, when they heard Jesus and they were offended at him, it was to their own eternal loss. They couldn't hear him because they couldn't get past him. And so let me just tell you what to do in this situation. You say, hey, Pastor, how do we build goodwill towards the pastor? Number one, if there is anything that you've had against me, listen, I now pronounce you forgiven on my part. I don't want to know what you've been thinking, if there's been something there. And so you are forgiven from my side. I forgive you there. Number two, if you want to build goodwill towards the preacher, let him be himself. You got to let your preacher, your pastor, be who he is. One of the great developments we've had today is the invention of the podcast. It's a good thing to be able to go online, listen to some of the great preachers of today. But let me tell you something that's done in our technologized world. It is developed in churches, congregations that start pitting their pastors against all of these famous preachers. Because here's the thing. Most pastors will never be great preachers. Most pastors will never be great preachers. But here's the thing, they're not called to be great preachers. They're called to be faithful preachers. They're called to be men who will declare the word of God as it's written in the word of God. That's the responsibility. So here's what a church has to do. They have to let the pastor be who he is. One of my seminary professors, Dr. Larry Ashlock, pastored a church of over 2,000 people at one point. A lady came up to him after preaching one day, and many of you know the late, great Adrian Rogers was a part of the conservative resurgence in Southern Baptist life. She said, Dr. Larry, I just have a question for you. She said, sir, when are you going to start preaching like Brother Adrian Rogers? When are you going to become the kind of preacher that Brother Rogers is? And my professor just looked at her and he said, ma'am, I'm never going to be the preacher that Adrian Rogers is because I'm Larry and he's Adrian. God did not make me Adrian. He made me Larry. One of the best pieces of advice I was given by mentors in my life early on, they're like, Donald, you just be who God's called you to be. Because if I try to be someone else, guess what? I'm going to fail. I'm not going to be who I should be if I try to imitate someone else. So one, just ask God for forgiveness if you've had any ill will towards me. Or I'm going to throw Jesse in there, and I'm going to throw Mitchell in there, and I'm going to throw Cody in there, so I'm not just the only spotlight up here. But ask God for forgiveness of that. Let your preacher be who he is. Let us be our personalities. I was encouraged one time hearing about a church who called a pastor, and I don't remember which church this was, but this pastor was following a very influential pastor, been there for years and done a great job. And they had a ceremony on stage where I believe somebody, I don't know if it was one of the deacons or the personnel team, but they came up and they had a pair of shoes to present to their pastor. And I don't remember everything that was said, but something to this effect. They said, we've called a new pastor, and I don't remember his name, but they said, Pastor, we want you to know that we're not expecting you to fill anybody's shoes but your own. And we bought you your own pair of shoes. We're going to hold you up to the standard God's called you to be. We don't want you to be who our former pastor was. That's what you got to do if you're going to build goodwill towards the preacher. And then third of all, pray for me. I'm telling you, I've found it hard to be mad or to stay mad at somebody if I'm constantly praying for them. God just does something through prayer. He weds our hearts together so that we actually are like, you know, I can't be mad at him because I just prayed for God to work in his life. And just ask God to fill him with the Holy Spirit and to make him passionate and bold with the word. So pray for me. Pray for me during the week. Pray for me, especially on Sundays before I get up to preach the word of God. So that's enough with that. So we want to pray to build goodwill towards the pastor. Number four, if you want to become a better listener to the preached word of God, plan for Sunday on Saturday. You see, Sunday worship should not begin just on Sunday morning. We should be doing everything we can the day before to prepare for this special day. Let me tell you what that looks like in our home. Because I get up early, I've got a lot on my mind for Sunday service. And so what we do is we get everything ready on Saturday to make our Sunday mornings easier. So my mind's not frazzled and I'm not distracted, my wife's not distracted, and she and I aren't going back and forth at each other. And that happens occasionally in a preacher's home. And so we want that morning to be as smooth as possible. So yesterday, what did I do? I got out the ironing board, picked out my shirt, and I ironed my shirt in advance, hung it up so I wouldn't be rushing frantically Sunday morning to find something to wear and to take care of that. Now we've got a son. Our little boy is almost 4 months old, and so we have that added of task on Sunday mornings, getting a child ready for church. So you know what we do? We get his clothes out. We get them ready the night before. Melody packs his diaper bag. She makes sure there's milk in the fridge, and so we're ready to go, so we don't have a lot to do with him to distract us that morning. Maybe for you, your car's low on gas. You know it's going to be a stressful Sunday morning. Take some time out Saturday. Go fill the car up with gas so you don't have to do that. Here's another thing in preparing on Saturday for Sunday. Go to bed at a decent hour. This is the day we're preparing for. This is a big day. It's not a day where we give God our leftovers. So I'm very guarded with my Saturdays, not just because I'm a preacher, but because even if I was sitting where you're sitting, I want to give God my best. And so I have to guard my Saturdays. Melody and I are very strict on trying to make sure we get to bed at a decent hour so I don't wake up and I feel exhausted and I'm not ready to really be in tune with God and what God wants to do in my heart with his word. So go to bed at a decent hour so you'll feel refreshed and alert. Let me give you another piece of advice. Be careful what you do on Saturdays leading up to Sundays. You can do some things the night before that will so overstimulate your thinking and your mind that you won't sleep well. Or you'll have thoughts and things you're wrestling with, like, oh my gosh, why did I watch that? Or why did I do that? I can't settle down and I'm not ready to go into the to God's house to hear his word now because you're just distracted. So guard yourself in what you do. Set your alarm early enough so that you can get up, have a little bit of quiet time with the Lord, ease into the morning. Something we do on Sundays, this morning when I got up, don't interact with social media. I don't turn on the TV. I just keep that as a focused time with the Lord, coming in to the Lord's house. Oftentimes, Melody, as she's getting ready, she's got worship music playing in the background, and she's singing along, and God's using those things to prepare her heart. So do what you can to prepare on Saturday for Sunday. Don't just do it all at once on Sunday, because that does affect the way we hear. Number five, here's an important one. Bring your Bible to church. You need to have a copy of the Word of God to follow along with as the preacher is preaching, as the teacher is teaching God's Word. Now, that Word, that copy of the Word, it can be electronic in form. It can be on your phone. It can be on your tablet. But let me encourage you to think about bringing a printed copy of the Word of God to church with you. And I think there are several advantages to that, and I won't get into all of them. But one, having a printed copy of the Word of God, it allows you actually to learn where the books of the Bible are. When the pastor says, turn to such and such page, you actually are becoming familiarized with the way the books appear and the Bible is given to us. Number two, having a printed copy of the Word of God to read, it teaches us that we never get to a point where we can't see new insights in the text. I have read passages of Scripture only to go back to them and say, man, I've never seen that before. See, we never need to think, well, the pastor's preaching on this passage. I've read it 100 times before. I don't need anything in my hand to look at. No, you actually do, because as he's speaking, as he's saying things, you're going to look down and be like, God's going to wed that into your heart and into your mind because you're actually engaging the written text. And then number three, I think a printed copy is better than an electronic copy because it actually gives you less opportunity to become distracted. If you're reading on your Bible app and all of a sudden I'm in the midst of something and uh-oh, you get that notification. Your sister has just posted this cutest picture of her little boy on Instagram. And you're like, oh man, I gotta fight this. Do I look at the little picture? Do I keep listening to what Pastor Donald's saying? We see, I don't ever have any notifications that pop up in this book as I'm preaching. So that'll help you to keep from getting distracted by email alerts or news alerts or alarms that you've set, whatever. You'll be able to stay more focused. But the important thing is you can bring an electronic copy, but turn off all that stuff and be engaged that as I am preaching, as whoever's preaching, you're actually following along and you're seeing that what the pastor is saying actually aligns with the text as it's written. In Acts chapter 17, 11, when Paul and Silas were preaching, the scripture tells us there to the Bereans that they received the word of God with great eagerness. And listen, they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so that Paul and Silas were saying. As they preached, the Bereans had a copy of the scriptures and they examined the scriptures to say, is this exactly what the word of God says? So bring your Bible to church. Number six, read the sermon passage in advance. Now, most of my preaching, I preach through books of the Bible. So you will know in advance what the next passage I will be preaching on will be, because it'll be the next paragraph that follows in a book, as we did through 1 Timothy. After I finish the first couple of verses, the next paragraph would be in focus. And you're going to know that most of the time in advance, or I'll tell you in advance. One of the things that'll help you to listen to God's word better is to read those Sunday school lessons in advance, those passages of Scripture. Read the text I'm going to be focusing on. Let God marinate it in your heart so that when it's declared, you'll say, man, I've been thinking through this. I'm seeing things in a different way, and God is doing something in my heart that wouldn't have happened had I not already studied that passage in advance. Pray over it. Think over it. Ask God to give you understanding as you read it in advance. Number seven, hear the sermon in church. Hear the sermon in church. Church attendance is declining all across America. And one of the factors, as I mentioned earlier, that's competing with local assembly is online church. Being able to just plug in, listen to your favorite pastor or preacher up in Washington, D.C., while you sit in the comfort of your own home here in Louisville or Flower Mound. That is competing with, it's not the only thing that's leading to a decline of church attendance, but it is happening. Last year, as I was reaching out to a young lady in our community, I remember her telling me as I invited her to church, she said, "Well, I'll be going to church at home on Sunday." And I knew what she was talking about when she said she'd be going to church at home on Sunday. She was going to pull up her computer and she was going to listen to her favorite podcast preacher. Online preaching is great. It has a place. It's a good thing, but it is no substitute for the people of God gathering together. When Jesus spoke of the local church, he did not have an online community in mind. He had a local, visible body of believers who have professed Jesus Christ, and they've come together in a covenant promising to hold one another accountable and to come under the authority of God's called leaders for the work of ministry, for the fulfillment of the mission that God's given us, and for the preaching of the Word of God. And there's something that God does in our hearts when we gather together to listen to the Word that is preached. Listen to preaching in church. Number eight, this will help you to become an effective listener, an effective hearer to preaching. Worship God during worship. What we do before I step up here to open the Word of God, it's not something we do just to fill time. It's not just something to fill up space. This was something I had to learn as a young believer, as I was growing in my walk with the Lord. Man, I couldn't wait for the preacher to get up. That's where my heart was. But you know what God has shown me over the years? Donald, all that takes place before, that's me preparing your heart for what I'm going to do through the preacher. So when we sing, we need to be singing. Not just listening to what's taking place on the stage, but we're engaging because we've got a song in our heart that we want to sing back to God. When we pray, we're not just listening to prayer, but we're actually moving in concert with the preacher or whoever's leading in that prayer. And we're saying, God, do these things, and I need you to do even more than what he's asking. So we're actually praying. When we give, but we're actually thinking about, God, you've given so much to me, and this is a part of me giving back faithfully how much you've blessed me with. And then when we do all of those things, we've prayed and we've sung, we've truly worshiped, God works in that for the time of preaching so that our hearts are conditioned in a way they would not be had we just sat through it just to endure it and to get through it. So worship God during worship. Number nine. Value expositional preaching. Value expositional preaching. The best kind of preaching is what we call expositional preaching. Southwestern now has coined the term what we call text-driven preaching. A lot of preaching in a lot of churches is what we would call topical preaching. A pastor just comes up with a random topic. I have a friend who's serving in a church right now, and his pastor preaches this way, and it's really led the whole staff to be very frustrated, and the congregation as well. One of his recent sermons, he had a topic he was preaching on, and he had 20 different passages that he was referencing back and forth in this sermon. So it's just a constant back and forth. See, the best kind of preaching, which our seminaries in Southern Baptist life are teaching, which Dr. David Allen preaches and teaches, instructs his students to preach with Dr. Paige Patterson at Southwestern, where I'm a graduate, which Dr. Stephen Smith, when he was there, encourages. It's what we call systematic exposition. You see, listen, whether you like it or not, God did not give us a Bible of just disjointed, disconnected passages. This is a book of 66 books. Do you know what? They have a start and they have a finish, a beginning and an ending. God gave us his word in books. I mean, that's how God gave his word to us. And so it makes sense that the years of preaching in the past and what our seminaries are teaching today, that the best kind of preaching that's going to educate a congregation and equip a congregation is to look at those books in their full context. They have a central theme. They're broken up into paragraphs that support that theme. And so we need to start valuing the way God has put his Bible together and value that kind of preaching that says, we're going to take seriously all the Word of God. And if God gave us the whole book of 1 Timothy, then the whole book of 1 Timothy, if he gives us the opportunity to go through it, it is worth listening to every paragraph to see what God has to say to us about every subject he's put in his word. See, that's the best way. And I know some of you may be new to the church, or you've come from churches where you value topical preaching. And sometimes I'll do that here. Usually I'll finish a book and I'll go through a series coming up October 1st. I'm going to be starting an 8-week series on marriage, When Two Become One. So that's more of a topical series I'm going to be preaching through. But through and through, my preaching is going to be burying myself in a book and walking you through that book. So let me tell you how to have that kind of a attitude towards the Word of God when it comes to valuing expositional preaching. Come to church with an attitude that all of God's Word is relevant. Come to church with an attitude that all of this book is relevant. It may not be a book that you would want preached through, but if it's in this book, it's worthy to be preached through. It may not be a subject matter that you wanted to listen to, but you know what? Even if God's not doing something in your heart with that subject matter, he may be doing something in someone else's heart with it. And so it's important. And who are we to ever say, God, you didn't know what you were doing when you put this book together? I'd rather stand before him and say, God, it was there, I saw it, and I preached it. And hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the attitude we need to have. Value expositional preaching. Number 10, stay focused when you're in the worship service. Pretty easy, isn't it? Do what you need to do to keep your mind fully engaged. Melody and I were out the other night, and we were on a date, and she was talking, and sometimes when we're out, I start people watching, and I saw something going on at this table over here when we were out eating, and she's talking, and I'm looking. She's like, honey, look at me. And I'm sorry, dear. I was like, people kind of got me distracted over there, and I was just people watching. She said, well, people watching, she said, when I'm talking, I want you listening to me. I want you engaged with me. And she's fully right there. Guys, when we open up this book, God's talking. And God wants us fully engaged. And so maybe you're one of those people who would say, Pastor, I don't have ADD. My ADD's got ADD. It's so bad. And so I just constantly struggling. Well, what you need to do what you can to help eliminate distractions. If you're one of those, when you see somebody get up and go out, it just totally catches you off guard and you can't recoup. Sit up front. Man, we've got a lot of open seats up here. I mean, I don't bite. I don't spit that far. It usually just goes to the third step right here. And so you're not going to get wet. You're going to be okay. Sit up here to where you don't see those distractions. Turn off your phone. When I step up here, I put my phone in airplane mode, because I don't want anything happening. I mean, one time when I first got this thing and it vibrated and I hadn't had a vibrating phone, and it scared me to death. I was just jumping. And I do not want that happening when I'm preaching the Word of God. So I want to eliminate as many distractions as possible. Sit up front. Put your plane on airplane mode. And here's an easy thing to help some of you stay focused. Take notes. We give you a place on the back of the bulletin for you to take notes. Here's what you do. Write down the main idea of the sermon. I give you the main idea of every sermon that I preach. The main idea of the sermon, I've repeated it on two Sundays. Everyone needs to pay attention to how they listen to the preaching of God's Word. That's the main idea. And then I told you the theological importance of why we need to pay attention to how we listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Because your salvation depends upon it. Your fruitfulness depends upon it. Your perseverance depends upon it. And your witness depends upon it. Those are easy notes that you can take that will help keep you tracking with the preacher. Number 11, and we're getting to the end. Review the passage and the message later in the day or in the week. Later, after Sunday is over, set some time aside to think through what we've read together and what was preached. Talk about the sermon with your children on the way to get lunch. When you're ending the day with your spouse, sit in bed, have your notes that you took, open up to that passage, read it again together, and say, what did God do in your heart with this message? Let me share what God did in my heart with the message. Review your notes that you jot down. Go online if you so choose. We put all these sermons online and re-listen to the sermon as you're driving to work. Better yet, take a friend out. Go to coffee, take them to lunch or breakfast, and re-engage the sermon as it was preached, looking at the passage again together. See, as you review these things, it will help you to be a better listener. And then last of all, as we wrap up, apply the sermon to your life. There may be some sermons that are horrible. That may happen across our country on any given Sunday. But I agree with Dr. Stephen Smith when he says there have been very few sermons he's ever heard preached where he could not walk away with something from that message and apply it to his life to have a better walk with God. Luke 8:21, Jesus says, in closing out this passage, he says, the true people of God are those who hear it and do it. So hearing is a doing. That's the kind of hearing Jesus stresses. It's a hearing, as James says, we prove to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because hearers only, those who just hear with the physical ears and not the spiritual ears, James says they delude themselves. They deceive themselves. So what you want to do is walk away from every sermon determining some action step that you're going to take that you've heard from the preaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you how to do that. Write it down on your bulletin, or when you get home as you're processing it still, and say, based upon what I heard this morning, this is what I'm going to do with this text. Maybe you heard a sermon on a certain sin. And your action step, I've got to get home. I've got to get alone with God, and I've got to repent. There's some serious soul searching I've got to do with God. That's an action step, a certain kind of repentance. Maybe you heard a sermon on prayer, and you're thinking, you know what? I don't pray with my spouse. So I'm going to talk with my spouse. Here's my action step. And she and I are going to start dedicating this part of our day, our early mornings, our late evenings, to where we actually pray together. Maybe it's a sermon you heard where you're struggling with something in life. And an action step is, you know, that verse that was in that passage pastor preached on, I'm going to commit that to memory. Because if I store his word in my heart, I won't sin against him. So that's an action step I'm going to take. In this sermon this morning, I've given you 12 application points where you can pick one or a couple or even say, man, I'm going to be awesome and I'm going to apply every one of them that he's given us this morning. And I'm going to work towards becoming the kind of listener that Jesus would have me to be, because listening is a high calling. Every Sunday when we finish a message, we have what's called an invitation. We invite people to obey God's word. Do you know what an invitation really is? It's a time of response. The word is preached, and so God wants his people to respond to him through the preaching of the word. Let me ask you, are you here this morning? Are you one of those who's heard the word? You've heard the message about Jesus, the word who became flesh, God's perfect message to us, and that he came and he died on a cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. But you've come Sunday in and Sunday out throughout your life, and that message just seems to be taken away before you ever do anything with it. Let me encourage you this morning. This is a time of response. Jesus is saying, come to me this morning. Don't be offended at me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he is bidding you to come and to drink of life eternal if you're willing to say, I'm sorry for my sins, and I believe in who you are and what you did, and I want to give my life to you. Today can be the day of your salvation. Let me ask you, are you a church member who settled in their salvation, but you've not had the proper heart response to the Word of God lately? What can you start doing out of the things we've talked about this morning, those 12 steps that will help you become the kind of soil, that good and honest heart that Jesus commends and praises? You see, we all want to be the listeners that hear in such a way as to be saved, to be fruitful, to be faithful, and to be evangelistic witnesses for our Lord. So what do you need to do to become that kind of hearer this morning? I don't have to point it out. I don't have to speak specifically to you. The Holy Spirit of God's working this morning, and He's used this sermon to awaken our hearts to how important it is that we listen to His Word. And now you have a time to respond. Would you please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, will you please let your word not return void, but God, will you, as it's been sent forth to accomplish its purpose and us becoming effective hearers of the preaching of the word of God, Lord, may we take those action steps today that will lead us to become the hearers who do, who obey, who are consistent in our testimony, our profession, our living with the Word of God that we hear week in and week out. God, draw people to yourself this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you need to do in this time of response? Would you please come?